A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Or a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown? Sleep Tight Stories.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're about to make a change in your life and you feel uncomfortable, that's the best feeling you can have. Because for the first time in your life, you're making a decision that's going to be best for you and not what somebody told you to do. And that's when all bets are off.
Welcome to Money Making Conversation Masterclass. I'm your host, Rashawn McDonald. Our theme is there's no perfect time to start following your dreams. I recognize that we all have different definitions of success. For you, it may be the size of your paycheck. It's time to stop reading other people's success stories and start living your own.
Keep winning. I'm Rashawn McDonald. I host the weekly Money Making Conversation Masterclass show. The information and interviews that this show provides really is for everyone. That means you. It's time to stop reading other people's success stories and start living your own. My guest is starring in the NAACP nominated series, The Black Hamptons, and you can find it on BET. Please welcome to Money Making Conversation Masterclass, because we have a lot to talk about, Karan Joseph Riley. How you doing, sir?
It's love, King. How you doing? I'm doing great.
Well, you know, first of all, you have a naturally uplifting smile. You know, where'd you get it from? Who's taking credit for that, mom or dad?
I got to give all credit to my mother. She's with the ancestors now, man. And I'd be remiss if I don't give her and the rest of my ancestors all the credit for everything I'm doing now in this time.
You know, when I encountered our relationship, you know, first of all, it's always visual. You know, you're on screen. You know, you was an athlete. You know, and I've been a sports fan. And so, but when you talk about who you really are, something that we can relate to is that I have sickle cell trait. And I want to start our conversation with there because of the fact that we know the sickle cell disease, which is also an extended form of the trait, you know, paralyzes a lot of people, in particular African-Americans in the United States. Tell us about your sickle cell background.
Speaking of, we just mentioned my mother. She is the one who birthed me and the one who gave me the trait as well. But I made a promise to my mother, and she passed away from sickle cell maybe 10, 12 years ago now. But she lived to be 65 with the trait, with actual sickle cell thalassemia disease, which you and I both know is a miracle in itself. They told her in college when she was doing her finals, when she went to get her physical exam, they said, Angela, you should probably not even worry about having no kids, worrying about anything other than that. Just stay present for your day because you probably won't make it to 25. And my mother used to tell me that story all the time. And I said, Mama, what did you do when the doctor told you that? She said, I didn't pay that white man no mind. I went and took my finals, and you and your two other brothers are sitting here, yeah. And it's testament that he didn't know what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And that's just who we are, baby. Don't let nobody tell you who you are. You tell the world who you are and show them.
And that motivation, when you're hearing it from your mom, hearing it from, as you grow older and educate yourself about sickle cell, you gain a lot more respect, I'm sure, with what she had to deal with, huh?
Oh yeah, well, I live with it every day, man. You didn't know every day you live with the thought of the other shoe dropping, right? Because I've seen my mother go through crisis. I've seen a great moment in our life turn into a nightmare, seemingly out of nowhere because of a crisis from sickle cell. So I spent my whole childhood and my early adult life basically holding my breath, just waiting for that phone call that, you know, my mom had a severe crisis and she's no longer with us. But fortunately, like I said, she made it to 65. And one of the promises that I made her was, if I can stop this disease, I'll stop it. And I believe this disease can be stopped with just education, Rashawn. We have to learn how to educate ourselves on ourself. Our self-knowledge of self is really what we can cure every disease of our culture, in my opinion, starting with sickle cell, right? Every woman I dated before I met my wife, up until my wife, I asked, the first question I asked was, what's your sickle cell status? And some sisters was taken aback by it because they really didn't understand what I was asking. But most sisters actually knew, which was a testament to those sisters and their families' communication styles. And kudos to them as well, because as you know, I'm a celebrity spokesman for the Sickle Cell Foundation here in Georgia. And every year I go out to the camp, I talk to the children, I deal with the parents, the adults, and I've had conversations with some of them. And I'm like, did you guys know that you both had the trait before you procreated? Some said no, most said no. But there were some who went into it overstanding that they both had the trait, and it was the thing of what's been happening to some of our people in this country as well. We've been waiting for some guy in the sky to fix everything. That's not the case. We had to save ourselves. And they also understand now at the time that, yeah, you made a decision and this is the consequence of your decision. And I've been very proactive in not making that decision and putting that on my children and also doing my part to stop this disease.
You know, I have, like I said, my wife, she has sickle cell trait. I had sickle cell trait. We have a beautiful daughter. Of course, there's a 25% chance that that child that we have now who does not have sickle cell could have had sickle cell. Now, when you go through the whole part, like a good friend of mine, I'm going to call him a good friend, Ryan Clark, he has sickle cell trait. And he talks about a lot of the stories where high elevation gave him issues. I believe he had to remove his spleen or something like that because of sickle cell.
Yeah, he went to play in Denver. He went and played in Denver. Mm-hmm. I played in Denver as well.
Right. So talk about, a lot of people think when they just have sickle cell trait, they're good. But there still is some medical issues can arise from that, being that you are a high-profile athlete. Talk about that steps. Or did you even worry about that? Or did your local trainers, were they aware of you having sickle cell trait?
Well, that's the double-edged sword in the catch-all of this disease, Rashawn. It's considered a black disease, so it's not a lot of people who's going to care about how to help it or fix it. Uh-huh. So I was really literally on my own as far as understanding the disease and educating myself on it. I'm thankful that we grew up in Detroit, Michigan, up north, where the medical industry was on top of it versus the South. When my mother moved down to the South, it took us forever to find a doctor who could help treat her her condition. And some of the things that we were doing up north, we were doing blood exchange, we were doing some cutting edge stuff, and my mom was living in Detroit. And when we got to Georgia, we had to bring those procedures to Georgia. And now they've implemented those procedures and a lot of the things they do for sickle cell patients here in Georgia based on what they did with my mother, because they didn't really understand what she was doing, but now they understood it. And for us as an athlete, I kind of innately knew, like from research, I knew I had to stay hydrated. So I started drinking a gallon of water every day since I was 16, 17, right? And I haven't stopped. I stayed hydrated. And as you know, high altitude. So when I fly, I wear compression pants. I wear all of the things to help alleviate any of the symptoms that can happen, like blood clotting or anything like that. That's one of the byproducts of having the sickle cell trait. And also, I think that cost me some of my draft status as well. Because of my stats in college, I should have been a first-round pick based on my numbers in college, because there's been no defensive end to come out of college the last 20 years with my numbers who wasn't a top 10 pick.
Right. Based on you graduated from the University of Minnesota, correct? And
yes, sir.
All-time cycle leader still.
Still to this day.
Now, with that being said, first of all, educate me, what are compression pants?
Compression pants, I'm glad you don't know about them, but I call them old folks' pants, because you really wear them to actually keep your circulation in your body moving a little faster. It increases the circulation in your legs and your joints. So that was one of the things that I picked up. And I got COVID a couple of years ago, and the byproduct of COVID with my sickle cell trait background caused me to have blood clots, and I ended up basically almost costing my life, man, to be honest with you. I spent 3 days in the hospital. It was a scary situation, but thank God I stayed in great shape and I was able to fight through that and get on the other side of it. But from henceforth, the doctor's like, wear compression pants when you fly over 2 hours. Always keep yourself hydrated, as you already know, and stay in shape and keep yourself in tip-top shape like you've been doing.
Now, Karan, you were a professional athlete in the field of football for roughly 7 years. Now, that's a lot of physical punishment. But also, you hear the word concussion pop up a lot. I remember when I was growing up, you know, they give a guy salt underneath his nose, whatever, and they push him back out on the field. Now, you were in a position of seeing this transition. What exactly is a concussion, and did you ever have one?
I had one that was documented. I'm pretty sure I had a couple of others that we didn't document because I was actually at the tail end of the NFL when it was real football. Where we still did two-a-day practices. And when, yes, they would get you the smelling salt and push you right back onto the field. I played in that. I played in the last few years of that era before football became flag football, what is known as now. I commended them on trying to make the game a lot safer because it's just not a safe game at all, man. And concussion is basically trauma to your brain, man. When your brain moves and hits the inside of your skull is what a concussion is. And to be honest with you, football is probably one of those sports that if it's still around in 20 years, I'll be surprised.
There's certain rating records every time they pop on TV. So it's going to be hard to push the number one television show off of television, especially linear television.
It's going to be hard.
And that is going into streaming. Like they say, they follow the Bucks. It kind of reminds me of those old gladiators, you know. So I see this as just kind of like the world that we live in now. The reality is that professional football, which is the NFL, is that gladiator moment that we saw in the Roman Coliseum. You participated in that. Being an athlete, a high-profile athlete, because a lot of people, you know, they dream for what you participated in. What were the high and what were the low of that level of participating in the NFL?
I tell people all the time, playing in the NFL was my best and my most favorite part-time job. It literally was a dream that was realized, and shortly after realizing the dream, I realized that it was a nightmare. And I say that because my first passion has always been to act and to entertain and be a personality the way I've been blessed to have one, right? And sports came into my life second. So football was my second sport. Basketball was my true love. Now, how I depict the two is I'll play basketball for free. I'll never play football for free. Also, how you know you love something or not. So for me, it was a great experience, great lessons. I got to rub elbows and talk to a lot of successful men that have the same mindset, and I still have a great brotherhood from that time in my life. And also learned a lot of valuable lessons in business and just learning how those billionaires and those people who own those teams operate their teams and operate the game. You know, I always knew that my career was not going to be as long as some other guys just based on my outside interests. When I went to the combine, they asked me straight up, like, what's your plans for after football? And in hindsight, if I'd have answered the question different, I might not have got a red mark on my report. But my remark was, when I finish playing football, I'm going to go to Hollywood and take it over. And I looked at me like, oh, so you do have plans. And I'm like, absolutely. So he was like, so you want to be an actor when you retire from football? I said, no, I'm going to be an actor when I retire from football. I don't do wants. I do what I do.
Wow. You know, sometimes when you show confidence, it makes people nervous. But the thing about it, when I look at you, Karan, you know, good looking guy. Why don't I see you on NFL Network, you know, chopping it up with them? What's up with that now? You know, because you're smart, you know the brain, you're articulate. Come on now. Why I don't see you on NFL Network?
You know, what's funny is when I retired and I was transitioning to acting, I had been doing sports shows while I was actively playing to get myself comfortable in front of the camera, right? So my natural thought was I'm going to do sports radio, sports TV, and act. That was the plan. After I realized the politics that was involved in sports television, and it doesn't matter how good you looked or how well you spoke or how intelligent you were, if you weren't a Hall of Famer, you weren't getting the shot. And the realistic of it is my NFL career was a footnote in my life. Like, what I'm doing now is going to be 10 times bigger than anything I did on the football field. And I'm thankful for that. Again, you have to love this game. I don't even watch football anymore, Rashawn. So for me to sit here and watch 8 hours of football every day and then sit here and talk about it, it's not in my interest, man. I'm too self-absorbed for that.
Please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Money Making Conversations Masterclass.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Money Making Conversations Masterclass, hosted by Rashawn McDonald. Money Making Conversations Masterclass continues online at moneymakingconversations.com. And follow Money Making Conversations Masterclass on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Now, you have a catchphrase, keep peddling. Where did that come from?
Baby. It comes from, I'm an avid cyclist.
Mm-hmm.
I started riding bikes shortly after I retired from the NFL, and it was the first sport since football that challenged me on a spiritual, physical level, on that level. And I found that I still needed that in my life to continue being who I was, but I just couldn't keep playing football. So cycling replaced that. And at the same time, it gave me a whole nother gift. It gave me a gift of basically active meditation, I would always call it. I would go out on these 20-mile, 30-mile, 40, 50, 100-mile rides, and I would undoubtedly come back. If I had a problem when I left, I didn't have it when I got back. If I was dealing with something I needed to figure out at work, in the house, in my family, just in life in general, man, the world, being out in nature and on my bike, a place that's been a place of freedom and joy for me ever since I was 4 years old and I first started pedaling a bike, it brings so much clarity to my spirit. And one day I was riding, man, and my legs was tired. I don't know if I was going to make it home. I was like, man, I'm going to have to call Terry to come pick me up. And a voice said to me, keep pedaling. Keep pedaling. And I started seeing a bigger view of that. And that voice was, at the time I was doing this ride, I was at a point in my career as an actor that I was a little down. I was a little tired. I was a little discouraged. And it all started to make sense. And it's like, yo, you can get home. You may not get there as fast because you're tired right now, but if you just keep pedaling, you will get there.
I smile when I talk to you because it's somewhere along the line. And I just love the fact that, you know, this is instilled by your mom, I'm sure, and also watching her overcome the trauma that was caused by her sickle cell and the very many crises, that confidence. You seem so confident. Does that scare people? Does that make people not worry about that you could make a mistake and not understand it, being this confident?
Oh, what another thing on a valuable lesson my mother taught me, and I think this would behoove anybody who's listening. Don't worry about what somebody else is thinking about you. It's none of your business. And it doesn't matter how they perceive you. How most people are going to perceive you, they're going to perceive you from their lenses. So if they're not confident, my confidence might scare the hell out of them. And that's okay. It doesn't bother me at all. It just means you probably won't be able to hang around me long, because again, if you're afraid and my light is too bright for you, then I would suggest you go find you a dimmer light that you can hang around, because I'm not the one. I'm never going to shrink. I'm never going to change. And hey, Rashawn, here's the kicker.
Uh-huh.
I don't want anybody around me to do that either.
Right.
Anybody who's in my life or in my circle, I need you to be as bright as you can be. I need you to be your full power, because I'm coming with my full power. So let's put all our powers together and make something amazing happen.
Right. You know, which I 100% agree with. And I like the fact that you're telling that to the people who are listening or watching, because a lot of people, you know, Black people in general, as you know, we're told to be humble. Don't be egotistical. Don't be too boastful. Well, with social media and the world we live in today, I would go back to the Muhammad Ali theory. Muhammad Ali told everybody how great he was. And that has been the moniker. Primetime told everybody how great he was. I call those two guys the early stages of the branding experts. But then I tell everybody, what do you think a commercial is? A commercial is bragging about the best chicken, best car, the best computer. So you have to realize that the industry is based on bragging. We have to accept the responsibility. In order for us to get ahead of each other, we have to tell people what we bring to the table. And that's what you do better than any guest I brought on the show so far, because of the fact that I see a bigger picture. Not saying what you have now isn't big, but there's a bigger picture for you, sir.
Absolutely. Ashe, I received that 100%, Rashawn. And also, I want people to understand this. What you say out of your mouth has power. And that's what the example Muhammad Ali showed me, and what Dion showed me, was if you speak it, then it's probably going to be, really, because once you put I am in front of anything, the universe moves in that way. I literally can tell you the moment when my acting career took the next level up is when I was able to tell people when they met me. But this is when I was still hustling and happened to, you know, manage restaurants and do all the different things before my acting career, and my acting could take care of my family without anything. I had to do a bunch of other jobs, which is the journey. And I would tell people all the time, man, I'm a general manager, I'm an actor, I'm this, but I always would preface it with what I was doing in the moment. And the day I stopped saying any other thing than I'm an actor, I'm a producer, I'm a director, I'm everything I am, that's when everything just started cranking up again for me. And I had to remind myself of that after I actually played Muhammad Ali in the movie. It recalibrated my spirit and reminded me of what we are all here to do. We name ourselves, Rashawn. You and the world has to believe it at some point. Every successful person, from The Rock to Will Smith to people you worked with in your past, they've all told the world who they were. And then they consistently put in the work over time in a consistent manner to where what they were saying who they were, their works lined up with who they said they were, and eventually the world agreed.
Please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Money Making Conversations Masterclass. Welcome back to the Money Making Conversations Masterclass, hosted by Rashawn McDonald.
We sit around and we debate our success or our potential to be successful, because people tell you, you can't do that. That's not your life. Because I remember when I left IBM and told people I was going to be a stand-up comedian, everybody went, you're not going to be Eddie Murphy. Who you think you, Richard Pryor? You know, so people always want to, whether they are intentional or not, will tell you what you can't do. And so you're in a business. You are in a business. First of all, nobody told you, oh, you're University of Minnesota. Okay, there. Oh, NFL, yeah, whatever. You had a lot of whatevers in your life. Do you like put little notches in or mentally little notes, say, whatever, I told you. Because I see Emmy, I see Oscar, I see Tony, what the hell, in your life?
Oh yeah, Broadway's in the future. Broadway's in the future.
New York Times bestseller. How about that?
That's all that's coming. All that's coming, Rashawn, because all that's coming because I've seen it as well. Mm-hmm. And give you a quick story of that is when I was in the sixth grade, I started practicing my autograph. And I would finish my work in school and I would just sit there and I would work on my autograph. One day, one of my teachers said, well, Karan, what are you doing? I said, I'm working on my autograph. She said, why, baby? I said, because people are going to want it. And I need to be prepared for when they want it, I'm able to do it properly. And I would do that every day, every day. And I remember I got to high school, my first girlfriend in high school, ninth grade, I never forget. She was like, Karan, ain't nobody going to want your autograph. And I said, okay. The first time somebody asked me for autograph, you know what I'm calling first? I'm calling you. Fast forward to 4 years, my freshman year in college, I started playing football. I started as a true freshman. And I came out of my first time playing my first game. And I'm walking out the tunnel. We lost the game. But it was people out there wanting to talk to us and get autographs. So this little kid said, Mr. Riley, can I have your autograph? And I looked at him and I said, you talking to me? And he said, yeah, can you sign this? I said, yes, I can. But first, I have to call somebody. Do you know, I got on my cell phone right there, called that girl up, and she said, Karan, what you want? I said, I'm just letting you know right now that I'm about to sign my first autograph of probably millions. So I just wanted to let you know, because I told you I was going to call you. And she said, Karan, you make me so sick. And I said, yeah, you just keep taking notes. Click.
Well, you know, the beauty of this conversation that I'm having with you is that I can tell you Steve Harvey did that too. Steve Harvey, if you sit down with him, he'll tell you he was always practicing his autograph, always practicing. People are always asking, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Again, the results is in the present day existence of his brand. Now, when I see you on TV, you know, I see this smooth brother, you know, this intense brother in shape. You know, I'm going to tell you something, man. You type brother, man, when I was running the nightclub, you made me mad. Because I knew. As soon as your behind walked in the club, 40% of the room I lost, okay?
But you still had 60.
Hey, I had it going on. I can't get you over 50, dog. I can't do myself like that.
It's all good. Glass half full, baby. I take my little 40 and keep pedaling.
You know, the Black Hamptons, you know, on BET.
Yeah.
What led to, before we talk about that, let's talk about the journey to get to that. Because there have been many steps, relationships, recommendations. You know, we all like to go in a room and think we got it, but people help you get there. And like I said, Russ Paul was one of the initial people who invested his vision in you. Let's start there.
Absolutely, man. I love that question, Rashawn. Dope question. Because you said it all in the question, man. It's consistency over time, working on my craft consistently all the time, studying with different acting coaches over the years, constantly believing in the journey. And Russ Parr was one of the first people, like you said, who gave me my first shot on as a film, as a movie. And I actually got to play with Kevin Hart and Megan Good and those kind of folks. And I held my own in the scene with those two people. And you see where those two people are in the world. So immediately I got confirmation at very early stage in my journey that I was amongst my peers, right? Was I on the same level at that time? Absolutely not. But I tell people all the time, levels happen over time. And young actors come up to me now, Karan, man, I want to get into acting. How can I do it? And I always say, just start. You have to start. And as you start, stay consistent over time and success will happen. My pastor always says success doesn't happen overnight, but one night success happens. So the relationships, the consistency in work and all that culminated to the Black Hamptons where it is now today. That started with a phone call started with a conversation with one of the main producers of the show, Trey of Tridestin with N.D. Brown and Carl Weber and those guys. So Trey and I were just sitting at a BET dinner and we were just sitting there chopping it up like you and I would be doing. And 2 years later, he calls me and was like, yo, Karan, I got the perfect role for you. And I'm like, okay, what's the deal? And he broke the series down, told me what it was about, you know, Black wealth, Black people thriving, Black people doing everything other than drug dealing and killing each other. I was in from the first sentence when he said that. And again, if I didn't have that relationship with Trey, I can't say that I would be there. And if Russ didn't give me that shot on 35 and Ticket, I can't say I would have kept going the way I did. I don't. All these things had to line up the way they lined up, and I'm thankful. And I never do anything thinking it was all me.
Great. I tell you, Mr. Carrad Joseph Riley, I want to thank you for taking the time to come in on Money Making Conversations Masterclass. Not the first time, not the last time. Little brother, you in my life.
Big brother.
Tell Terry, that's how it works out with me. That's why she connected us on that. Terry being Terry Vaughn. Talent director now, still a great actress, claim to fame was Steve Harvey, WB series, sitcom series. But again, this show is about you, and the energy that you brought to this show really only makes my listeners and viewers a lot better. Thank you for coming on Money Making Conversation Masterclass.
Thank you for having me, brother. Love you.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Money Making Conversations Masterclass. Money Making Conversations Masterclass with Rushon McDonald is produced by 3815 Media Inc. More information about 3815 Media Inc. is available at 3815media.com. And always remember to lead with your gifts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.